Phoenix FM, it's time to talk day on Phoenix FM. It's the 2nd of February, in case you're interested. And our next guest is in the studio. She is Sue Spong from the Family Support Services team from St. Francis Hospice, supporting the mental and emotional well-being of patients and families in their journey at the end of life. Tough job, isn't it, Sue? Tough job?
It is a tough job. It has its moments. It has its days where it's tougher than others. It's... We use the word privilege. It's always a privilege. It's a job that is like no other. You form relationships with people at a time when their lives have just been blown apart. Yeah. You know.
So you work with the patients and with the families.
Yeah, yeah. I work with patients on a one-to-one basis. I work with their families. If they want to bring a family member into a session, that's absolutely fine. We all talk together. Sometimes it's easier to talk with a witness there, somebody that can help you along, prompt you. Because when you talk to your family member, you tend to want to shield them from the reality. And the reality is that person is dying. Mm. And that person needs to talk about what it feels like for them to be at the end of life.
There are different phases, aren't there, that people who've been told that they've got a terminal illness, they go through different phases, is that right? So four different phases?
Well, there's the... If you're thinking theory, there is... you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, if you look and read her, you know, way back in the 60s, did a study of people as they were dying. And she called them the stages, the stages of dying. So we have denial, you know, when we think, no, surely it can't be true. It's not, he didn't really say that, you know, all those things that you do to avoid the reality. We have anger, where we get quite cross with, we can get cross with our family, we can be cross with our bodies for letting us down, cross with anyone really. That stage always shocks and surprises me, but I recognise it, so I work with it. We have a bargaining stage. Sometimes people will say, well, they might renew their faith in God. They might say, if I pray harder, if I do this, then the inevitable might not happen. It's not linear. You don't go through these stages linear fashion. Sometimes we skip a stage. Depression's very common, obviously, for obvious reasons. And, you know, hopefully we reach acceptance, but not always.
That must be very tough for you.
Very.
When they don't accept that they're going to die.
Yeah. You say tough for me, but it's so much tougher for the person and so much tougher
for
the family. Yeah, yeah. All these stages are difficult. They're all loss. You know, from the minute you get a terminal diagnosis, you experience loss, loss of self, the person that you once were, you are no more. And the implications of a life-limiting illness is that you might stop working, you might stop being able to do anything, you know, to eat properly, to sleep properly, to engage properly. You lose so much more along the way. So depression is a symptom.
So once they've come to the hospice, this is normally towards the end of their lives, isn't it? Or not?
Not always. Okay. No. The hospice is a wonderful place.
They could be there for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been working with some people for 5+ years. The hospice has this unique ability to... I was going to say extend life, but make people feel loved, and the care that we provide is second to none. Mm. So if you're depressed, if you're psychologically struggling, to speak to somebody, to talk to someone, to share your feelings with someone who won't get upset, well, I'll be moved by what you say, but I'm not your family.
I was going to ask you about that. How does it affect you personally? It must be rough for you, isn't it?
Well, anyone that knows me knows I'm an emotional person, but I'm also a professional person. So if you come to speak to me, it'd be no good if I fell apart and you were consoling me. So I do have I have my own coping mechanisms. I do have supervision.
Are you able to switch off when you go home?
I do. I'm a runner, so I go for a run, or I do a lot of running, and there I sort my head out, and that's fine. But I do struggle with it, and I think anybody in this job would struggle with the emotion of it. Mm. You form relationships with people that are like no other. You get to know people and their families at the most vulnerable time of their life. You feel that loss as deeply, and I'm feeling it now,
as if
you have known them forever. It's just incredible.
It's amazing that you're able to cope with that, really.
Yeah.
I mean, losing one person who's close to you is bad enough, but it's happening all the time for you, isn't it?
It doesn't happen all the time. I work with people that get discharged from the hospice. I work in the bereavement service too.
Some people actually don't pass away in the hospice, because you think of hospices as being, you know, that's where you go just before you die.
Well, we have hospice at home, so people choose to die in their own homes. So our team of wonderful nurses will go into their homes. People obviously die under our care, but say in hospital or in a nursing home. So there's, you know, it's not just at the hospice. Mm. And people get discharged from the hospice home, you know, regularly, to continue living their life as they wish.
Yeah. How big a team are you?
In family support, we are a team of... we just had a new manager yesterday, so we're a team of seven. So right. We have our manager, we have a children and family therapist, admin lady who is just amazing, Tricia, who does all our assessments for us for bereavement service, and two social workers who work tirelessly for carers, because we always support carers, and myself,
because it's tough for them as well, of course.
The caring that people have to do 24/7, you know, I might just speak to somebody for 1 hour a week, but the carer has to look after their special person, their loved one, 24/7, and the emotional toll that takes, and the physical sometimes, is enormous. So we appreciate our carers. Yearly we put on a cream tea, we do a Christmas cracker at Christmas, and we'll wait on the carers, because they are such an important part, and we always value our carers. Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with any of the families after the person has passed away?
I personally don't keep in touch, but they keep in touch with me. So I may get a Christmas card, I may get a letter, I'll get an email. Just especially I find younger people, if their loved ones passed away, they want to tell me how they're doing, they want to tell me where they're working, because we've worked together, and they want to tell me how proud they are of themselves for getting through such a difficult time.
Could I ask you what your background is before you came into this? Because it's such an unusual job.
No, my background wasn't anything. I don't want to say. No, I do want to say.
Okay.
Oh, no, I do. But I did work at the BBC.
You were?
And I worked
really?
at Radio London in Marylebone High Street, and I was on reception.
Oh, right.
And that was way back. And then I was a late developer, if you like, just loved talking to people, was a volunteer for a while, volunteered in the bereavement service, ran a marathon for the hospice, took the money in, and I've never looked back. I loved the place from the minute I stepped through the door, and I love the people. You know, they're a very special group of people. I can't imagine working anywhere else.
Well, you do fantastic work. Thank you very much for coming in. Sue Spong from the Family Support Services team from St. Francis Hospice.